Welcome to the Voice of Power broadcast with Gary Atkins, pastor of Willing Vessels Christian Center in King, North Carolina. In a postmodern culture, Pastor Atkins preaches an old-fashioned message under a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, pointing men and women to the truth of Scripture and freedom found in Jesus Christ. Pastor Atkins believes the body of Christ has a voice, and when we declare Jesus is Lord, we have a voice of power. Here's a recent message from the Tabernacle of Willing Vessels Christian Center.
Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not. Won't you just say that? Fear not. And Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Every person this morning has found favor in the eyes of God. You know how I know that? Because you're here this morning, hearing the word of the Lord. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She was a virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born unto thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. This young girl, probably no more than 13, 14 years old at the time, has a divine intervention, a visitation from the angel Gabriel, and says, You are going to fulfill Isaiah 7, verse 14, where a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son, call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And of course, and then I believe Gabriel probably referenced Isaiah 9 and verse 6, where it says, He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, and His government shall rest upon His shoulders, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. You know, the Bible gives us some meat, but it doesn't give us everything that was said on that day. And then, of course, I believe she looked back at him and said, How in the world can this happen? Number one, how can you say that I'm favored, but I'm engaged, and I'm going to have to tell my husband-to-be that I'm pregnant with child? But she was favored of the Lord. Do you know sometimes favor isn't fair? Did you know that? That you can be blessed and highly favored, but be in a precarious situation where you're going to have to trust and believe God. I believe all the time he allows us to get in situations like that where it just looks as if it can't get any better. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing will come to fruition. You've missed God. Where did you miss God? But I'm here to tell you, I don't believe you did miss God. I just believe you are in a time in your life where he can divinely intervene out of nowhere and bring somebody into your life or someone at the right place at the right. All it takes, listen to me this morning, is to meet the right person at the right place at the right time. I was on the radio and didn't know what I was doing. Nobody was giving. Nobody was calling. And all of a sudden, I get a call from this man named Joe Bennett that says, I heard about your podcast. I heard about you. Now here I am 4 years later pastoring a church of a wonderful group of people. Why? Because God divinely intervened in my life. And when you least expect it, He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. Don't think you're not favored this morning. The fact that you're here is the very evidence that you have favor, because He wants you to hear His word today. The message of Christmas is God so loved the world, John, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ. And Mary said, how in the world will this happen? And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. That holy thing that is born unto thee shall be called the Son of God. This was a divine intervention where the Holy Ghost got a hold of somebody's life, impregnated her with Christ the Lord. Do you realize that's what happens to you at the moment of salvation? That moment when He divinely intervened in your life and you gave up your life for His and He saved you and forgave you of your sin. What happened was the Holy Spirit conceived Christ in your heart and gave you the faith to believe that you were highly favored and birthed Christ in you, so that now when you walk around the streets of this blue marble planet, you are birthing Christ to every person you come in contact with. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I now live by the faith of the Son of God. Not my faith, His faith. And that is what gets me through this world. Ladies and gentlemen, understand. He lives to divinely intervene in your life. Hallelujah. In verse 37, he says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. I believe God put that there strategically, because I knew He, in His foreknowledge, in 2020, He knew there would be some humanist professor, some politician, who would say that it's biologically impossible for someone to give birth to a child being a virgin. It's anatomically impossible, scientifically impossible. And we seem to be praising scientists an awful lot here lately. And I believe God looked into the telescope of prophecy and He saw this day. So He strategically puts that verse there, because let me tell you, I agree with that. It is biologically impossible. It cannot happen. It's anatomically impossible. It's scientifically impossible for someone to conceive without the seed of a male. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Did a virgin really conceive a child, or is this just a fairy tale? Ladies and gentlemen, not only did she conceive, but she gave birth to the Son of God. And not only did she give birth to the Son of God, but He walked and lived on this earth for at least 33 years. And He gave up the ghost on the cross and resurrected to new life. Amen. Hallelujah. Which tells you and I that your situation, it's not impossible. Some of you this morning, you're bound by addiction. I don't know who you are. Watching, you're bound this morning. You are not free. But there is hope beyond the scope of impossibility. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. He can plant the seed of His word into your heart this morning, and it will give birth to everlasting life. You know why? Because you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Oh, this word, it attaches to your spirit man and it conceives new life, you see. Now you tell me now, if that happens to you, you are highly favored of the Lord. Just as Mary was favored of the Lord. Go to Philippians chapter 2 quickly with me. And I want to talk about, and I don't have an outline or a plan this morning, I want to encourage you, that's all. Philippians chapter 2. This is in theology referred to as the kenosis of Christ, the incarnation, when God became a man. And I want you to get a good understanding this morning. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, the apostle, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who wants the mind of Christ? Shout amen. Amen. Who, being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. Now, when you look at that in the Greek, it actually means he emptied himself. And some preachers would say he emptied himself of his omniscience, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his deity, that he did not operate in deity. People say that. And that he ceased to be God. He left the throne room of heaven to become a man and just a man. But the miracle of the incarnation is that he became a man and he emptied himself of the position of heaven. You see, he's the second person of the triune Godhead. But he never ceased to be God. Nor can he cease to be God. In fact, John puts it like this: we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. However, he did hide the glory with his flesh. And that's why John says no man has seen God at any time. But Jesus is the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1:15. So what does that mean? He was simply shielding the glory of God. But we would see it play out at times when he's walking on the water, when he suddenly appears out of nowhere, when he's transfigured and the glory of God is shining around him, when he came into this earth and the glory of God shone around that baby lying in a manger. He was still God, yet he was a man. So he emptied himself of that position temporarily. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. Read it. Think about that, John. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of a man and found fashioned as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen to me this morning. Christ lived for you. He died for you. He resurrected for you. And he's coming back for you. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him, giving him a name that is above every name. And it's just not the letters, it's just not the spelling, it's the position of Jesus Christ. So when he ascended back to heaven, he took his place again on the throne. Jesus and the glory met back together of the Father, and now he's at the right hand of God. And he's still a man. So understand something. In human history, God divinely intervened in history. How? By becoming human flesh. Do you understand the magnitude of that decision? He didn't have to do it. And he will forever be flesh. So he could identify with us. Oh, the love of God this morning. Hallelujah. So when we think about Christmas, be a giver, not a receiver. Why? Because he gave everything. Temporarily leaving the position in the throne of heaven, still being God, still being omnipotent and omniscient. Yet, the miracle is that he was a man too. Now, we can only begin to grasp the elementary level of that as human beings only with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why, and you'll never be able to rationale the how was he both. So don't try. Just know that he was. But how can we even get to that point to where we say, yes, I believe that? It has to be the Holy Spirit that unveils it to you. Amen. That's why Paul said the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who don't believe. But to us, it's the power of God. Hallelujah. My point being, he has a name that is above every name. And at that name, every knee, John, will bow. Every tongue will confess. Hitler, that Jew hater, will one day bow before the King of the Jews. Every person, you in this building this morning, you will stand before an omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent God. And you will be in his presence. And he'll open the books. And I don't know about you, but I want my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm telling you, I'm so thankful this morning that my name has been erased off the corners of hell and pinned into the Lamb's Book of Life. And when I stand before him, he's not going to see Gary Adkins. He's going to see the Son of the Living God who loved me, lived for me, died for me, and the one who came back. Look at verse 11 of Philippians 2. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory. Don't just leave things out. Highlight that. To the glory of God the Father. Once again, he steps out of that position. But when he ascended back to heaven, he retains that position. God the Father. The Bible says God is spirit, is he not? God the Father is not a man with a white beard sitting on the throne. God the Father, the first person, not an influence, a personality, is the glory of God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Do you know why God the Father is invisible? Because we cannot approach that light. Paul said he is you cannot approach it. It's an inapproachable light. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Oh, hallelujah. And the light and Jesus came back together in its fullness to the glory of God the Father. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This morning, I want you to do that. Because God is divinely intervening in your life today. And He's divinely intervening and He's wanting you, dear sir, madam, to make a decision to say yes to Jesus Christ. Verse 13, for it is God. Highlight this one. I love this. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It was God working in that little girl, Mary, on that wonderful day when He divinely interrupted her life. I don't know about you, and you better be careful when you pray like this, but ask Him for a divine interruption. Make plans, but let God interrupt your plans and let Him divinely intervene in your life and allow Him to take you in the depth. If you want great faith, it has to be greatly tested. So if you ask Him for greater faith, be prepared to be greatly tested. Come on, amen. Hold on to Him this morning. I want to close Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now unto Him. This is the prayer the apostle prayed for the Ephesians. And I believe we can gather some heavy theological truth here that would help us in the days to come. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Do you really believe that this morning? Do you believe that He is able to do greater than your imagination, your expectation? Not only will He save your spouse, He'll save your family. Not only will He provide for you financially, but He'll get you out of debt. Come on, amen. He'll do greater than you could ever ask or imagine in your life. But it will be by divine interruption. But listen, through it all, you learn to trust Him. The old song, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to rest upon His word. Hallelujah. Through it all. So maybe you're here. Don't forget Him when you're there, because you can't use Him as a spare tire. Maybe you're here. Hold on. Because a lot of times that's the greatest place to be. Because that's when you see His greatest exploits. It's when you fall and see His glory. Hallelujah. And He will divinely intervene in your life, pull you up again, and do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or even imagine. Do you think Mary had any idea that that baby boy who would be the Son of God would get lost one day, and she would wring her hands, oh my God, where is He? Knowing He was the Son of God, knowing He was God. Can you imagine that she would have to feel the pain of watching her child go to a Roman cross to be flagged 39 times with a Roman whip, to have a crown of thorns placed upon His head, ridiculed verbally, clothes ripped off of His body, to feel that pain? Who's ever seen the Passion? I like the part where, as He's carrying the cross, He looks at His mother and He says, I go to make a better way. Oh, I get emotional just thinking about it. And that's exactly what He did. But yet she was highly favored. She would be ridiculed. She would have to flee to Egypt, end up in Nazareth. See her son die a horrible death, whom she loved. But she was favored. You're favored this morning. And I'm telling you, as I stand here, as I close, He can do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. So if you had an imagination or a vision about what should happen in your life, it may be the furthest thing from it, John. But tomorrow's another day. And I'm telling you, he can divinely intervene and do the impossible in your life. Verse 21, unto him be glory. Oh, let me finish verse 20. According to what? The power that works within us. How was Mary able to conceive and bear a child as a virgin? By the power of the Holy Spirit that worked within her. Do you realize the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Spirit that touched her body and impregnated her with the Son of God, is the same Holy Spirit that will impregnate his word into your spirit, man? And by faith you can declare that be it unto me according to thy word. And I don't know about you, Joe, but the last time I read, if he began something in my life, he's faithful to perform it. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Now, people never pay attention to these last few verses of a chapter, but let me show you how powerful this is. You ready? Throughout all ages, world without end. Which means Paul declaring that he's able to do these things. But notice he didn't say, when I die, all that will cease. When I die, and John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, if he dies, and the last apostle has taken his last breath, no more miracles, no more signs, the gifts of the Spirit are gone. No. He said you'll get revelation in the knowledge of him, and he would do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine throughout all ages. Even in 2020, where we stand today, oh, what a year it has been. But I'm looking to 21. You know why? Because I believe he'll pull us out of the valley and set us on the mountain. And it could be the year of his return. It could be the year that we see the world without end. If you're here, if you're watching, and you know it's time to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, you know that it is time for you to say yes to Christ. It's not by chance that you're here. It's by divine intervention. And all things are possible with him. If that's you this morning, simply raise up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Father, this morning, I'm asking you to forgive us of our sin. I'm asking you to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I'm asking you to save us. Hallelujah. And this morning we believe with our heart and we declare with our mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, my Sanctifier, my Spirit Baptizer, my Healer, and my soon coming King. I declare that this morning. Divinely intervene in our lives. Touch us this day as we praise you on this day.
Amen. I sure hope you prayed that prayer believing that Jesus has forgiven you of your sin and that he has transformed your life from this moment forward. And I'm so glad that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast. And we pray that it has been a blessing to you. If so, we would encourage you to consider giving a financial donation to help the Voice of Power stay on the air. You can give in three ways. The simplest way to give would be through text message by simply texting a dollar amount to 336-747-3336 and following the instructions. And also you can go to the website at voiceofpower.org and click on the give link, and it will take you step by step on how to give financially to the Voice of Power. And thirdly, you can give by mail, P.O. Box 2439, King, North Carolina, 27021. And once again, we're delighted that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast and tune in next week at the same time. And I pray that the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart would be acceptable in his sight, for he is your strength and your redeemer.